What's happening, Polite Society? I hope you had a good week. If you're here for the first time, welcome to my channel. I'm Alan. Today, we're going to be continuing with our series on the women's movement. So let's delve in. The interim period between the female enfranchisement campaign of the 1910s and the egalitarian movement of the 1960s and 70s is sometimes overlooked. Perhaps one of the more alarming features about this era of female activism is its connection to communism. Most of you are likely familiar with Karl Marx, who along with his friend Friedrich Engels, co-authored the Communist Manifesto. The title has had far-reaching consequences for the world, most of which have been largely negative. People are familiar with the horrific communist regimes of the former Soviet Union, North Korea, China, and other nations. What is less known about Marxist ideology is the influence it has had on egalitarian thought. A little background. According to Marx, the problem in society was largely caused by the business owners, or what he called the bourgeoisie, aka the middle class. Marx felt that the production of labor was controlled by middle class capitalists. The capitalists used this control for their own benefit, and they exploited the working class. The middle class were the oppressors, and the proletariat were the oppressed. Workers were not able to keep the products of their labor. Marx called this type of work alienated labor. A few persons ended up owning a lot, while many others went propertyless. Marx believed that the capitalists paid the working class as little as they possibly could through wages. For Marx, the solution to this dilemma could be summed up in one statement, the abolition of private property. This would be accomplished by a glorious communist revolution. Though Marx did not fully develop his ideas on the woman question, in Capital he wrote against the separate spheres concept that a woman's place was in the home. Marx died in 1883 and his friend Friedrich Engels took up the mantle. In his book Origin of the Family, Private Property and the State, Engels argued that the rise of a class society and the growth of private property led to marital monogamy. The structure restricted women to the home where they experienced isolation and captivity. Keep this in mind because this viewpoint is going to be critically important when we examine one of the leading thinkers of the 1960s women's revolution in a future video. Engels was perhaps the first to use the term patriarchy in its modern parlance. It's from him that the New Left derives their belief that an evil male patriarchy subjugates and oppresses women. Marx and Engels' idea were adopted by communists in the former Soviet Union. The Soviets often viewed women as genderless and corralled children into government daycare centers and performed many prenatal infanticides. There is no precise way to determine exactly how many children in the womb were slaughtered under Soviet rule, but it is very likely that the number is appallingly high. A critically acclaimed show which features a die-hard Soviet female communist character in it is the FX series The Americans, which I would not recommend to you due to content. The philosophies of Marx, Engels, and Lenin made their way into the thinking of the U.S. communists. One prominent CP woman was Mary Inman, who authored the title In Woman's Defense. Inman attempted to move the discussion of women's problems from the primarily economic to the cultural and social as well. She argued that even if male oppression originated from the ruling class, working class men likewise played a part as buffers. One other important point that Inman stressed, and which later ostracized her from the American communists, was that women's domestic duties, like their economic labor, was also productive labor. She believed socialism could provide women with communal nurseries, centralized laundry, house cleaning, and cooking facilities. Susan Anthony II, the grandniece of the famous 19th century suffragist leader Susan B. Anthony, was strongly influenced by Mary Inman's work. Although the two women later had a falling out because of Inman's single-mindedness and inflexibility, Anthony continued to push many of Mary's ideas. As a side note, Mary Inman's, how should I put it, well, rather odd and irrational behavior late in life, lends credence to Rachel Wilson's argument that egalitarians tend to go crazy the older they get. Despite the anti-communist and anti-female empowerment sentiment following World War II, a group of women, including the aforementioned Susan Anthony, worked together with the CP to form a group that adopted a multi-ethnic, interracial, and cross-class perspective. The group was called the Congress of American Women, or CAW, and included noteworthy individuals such as Dorothy Douglas. Peace and child care were two major concerns of the CAW, and there was a strong reverence for the Soviet system, which could be seen at meetings. However, the real truth was that the Soviets were dehumanizing motherhood by providing easy access to prenatal infanticides, as mentioned earlier. Eventually, the CAW came under the purview of the House of Un-American Activities Committee. Rather than deal with expensive legal battles and possible imprisonment, CAW disbanded. McCarthyism and the horrors under Stalinism left a negative taint on the CP in America. However, the work of the CP women of the 40s and 50s laid much of the important foundations for the egalitarian movement of the 60s and 70s. One very important female activist author, who we will be looking at in more detail in a future video, is Betty Friedan. Scholar Kerry Gress argues that Friedan was definitely influenced by communist ideas in her thinking. Also, even though second wave egalitarianism advanced beyond the old communist program by challenging traditional views on women-female unions, they still incorporated many key elements from the CP's program in their women's lib agenda. Using women's history as inspiration, politicizing women's personal problems, and other strategies were derived from the old guard. In her title, American Communism and the Making of Women's Liberation, one scholar provides a compelling case that the work of female communists from the 40s and 50s was incorporated in the movements of the civil rights era. Turning now to criticism. As noted earlier, the monstrous communist ideology adopted by Soviet egalitarians led to so many unjust homicides of children in the womb that even Lenin had to take notice. Also, it seems that the communists appear to have an agenda in providing prenatal infanticides and daycare. The sooner the life of a woman's child is terminated, the sooner she can get back to work. And childcare in the hands of others ensures that the mother is able to continue to be a productive worker. Also, it is impossible to determine the precise number of lives that have been unjustly taken as a result of the implementation of the communist political view. Estimates suggest that the Soviets may have killed 20 million people, with the slaying of these individuals perhaps primarily taking place in the gulags and political purges. Under Mao, numbers range from anywhere between 40 to 80 million victims. Mass executions and starvations were common under his totalitarian reign. And there have been likewise atrocities committed under the Castro and North Korean regimes. Despite the idealism of the 40s and 50s egalitarians, the reality is that communism is a diabolical political system. Where it has been practiced, the most egregious and heinous violations of human rights have taken place. At its core, the philosophy of Karl Marx is atheistic. From a biblical viewpoint, contrary to Marx and Engels, the scriptures affirm the right of individuals to own private property and command others to respect that right. Both the postmillennial penultimate hope of a Christian world and society, as well as the eschatological new heavens and new earth, are diametrically different from the communist utopia of a classless society. God has made each of us unique and different. In terms of wealth, some of us have more, others have a moderate amount, and still others have less. But in the 10th commandment, God exhorts us that we are not to be covetous of that which belongs to our neighbor. Instead, we should be content with what the Lord has allotted to us. While the scriptures likewise teach that we are to care for and minister to the poor, we are not to do this by robbing our neighbors through socialist and communist taxation policies. Rather, we are to take voluntarily from our own earnings and give as much as we can out of the true generosity of our hearts. We can also contribute through voluntary charity work. It is not surprising that communism and egalitarianism have a historical connection. Both oppose the divine ordained institution of patriarchy. Both are anti-Christian, both hate God and the teachings of Scripture. It is also not surprising that communist nations are under the wrath and judgment of God. China's birth rate is at 1.1 per woman, and despite the oppression of the true church there, Christ will continue to build, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. All right, everyone, that's a wrap for now. The sources that I used for this video are available in the description below. Ladies and gents, if you want to share your own thoughts, be sure to do so in the comments section down below. Thanks for watching, everyone. If you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. If you like the content here, you can subscribe by clicking on the icon on the bottom right. Then you can hit the bell for notifications. I upload a new video every Wednesday and every Saturday. Have an awesome week, and for my brothers and sisters in the Lord, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit Be with you all always. I will see you all in the next video. God's blessings on your week.